Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shanks Show.
Happy Friday and welcome to our broadcast. I'm Bill Shanks with Russ Brown. We are live on location this afternoon at Murph's Restaurant here in Atlanta. The Cobb Galleria right down the street from SunTrust Park, where we're getting ready for game one of a three-game set between the Atlanta Braves and the Colorado Rockies. Tonight, Max Fried on the mound for Atlanta. It might be sold out. Everybody wants to see Maxie. So we are going to be talking Braves baseball. We'll also be talking a little Falcons football. Come here, Chuck. Sit down. And we're going to be talking about the great food here at Murph's. We got plenty to talk about for 3 hours and 20 minutes. You don't know about this, Chuck, because you may not have seen this, but we just got hooked up like 150 seconds ago, so we were cutting it close there. But Chuck Douglas, who is the grand poobah here at Murph's, is here. How are you, sir?
How are you doing?
It would help if I turn your microphone on. Say it one more time. You're doing good.
Yeah, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for always having us here. Always love to be here, and looking for a big weekend here in the Atlanta area with the Braves back home and Murph's open for business, and we want to invite people to come to, I think, the best restaurant around here.
Well, thank you for
a little grub.
Yeah, thank you for being so nice. One of the things I let everybody know, Murph will be here at the restaurant today from 4 to 6.
Okay.
So he'll hang out for a little while. Cool. Not sure about his schedule for the rest of the weekend. I think he's doing something with the Braves this weekend. But he will be here today.
Is he pitching out of the bullpen this weekend?
I think they actually called him back out of retirement, so he can't pitch. I was just outside talking to O'Greg about the bullpen.
Yeah.
I think that's the hottest topic around right now.
Yeah. I'm tired of going somewhere and being asked, tell me about Craig Kimbrell. I'm like, well, he's at home right now as far as I know, you know. That's about it.
Yeah, it would be nice, but I just don't know when – the situation we're in, I just don't see them pulling that trigger.
May not. If they haven't done it now, they may not do it. Well, we want to tell people about Murph's. If you haven't heard about it, if you haven't heard us here when we've been here in the past, Murph's is right down the street from SunTrust Park. There's plenty of parking here at the Cobb Galleria for you to kind of investigate. It's better before you come from anywhere in the state of Georgia that you may be at when you're coming to a Braves game to kind of investigate the parking. Don't just think, oh, we'll find a place to park when we get there. That's not the way it works. But you do, I think it's better to also plan what you're going to do before the game. And if you want good food, come to Murph's. Murph's has great, great burgers.
Well, I can tell you, so the deal is with our parking, if you come here, you park at the Galleria Convention Center, come into Murph's, eat before the game. We validate your parking from $20 to $5.
Wow.
So you can park for $5.
Yeah, and you can't beat that right there.
No.
Yeah, I'm glad you're saying that. I don't think you could say that last year, right? You had to kind of keep that quiet.
Yeah, we had to kind of keep that a little quiet. But now we can go ahead and make it publicly known.
Well, and that's good to know because, like last time we were here on opening day, and we're going to try to come every Friday home game, but when we were here on opening day, we decided to stay here and walk to the stadium. Well, it wasn't that far of a walk. It was a little more coming back for us because we had some equipment in our bag and stuff. If you're just going to the game, there's no better place to park than right here for $5. I don't know. I mean, because you're going to have to walk anywhere. But for $5, you're not going to find a better spot, all right?
Well, no. And not only that, when you go to leave, you can get right on
285
or 75.
Sure.
Almost zero traffic you're going to run into getting out of there.
You know what I did last time we came, and I need to mention this too, Chuck, is when I always put my ways coming from Macon the best way to get to this area. And today, I think I did it before because it was already in there. I put in Murph's. I just put in Murph's restaurant, and it came up, and it led me right here. So I encourage people, if they're kind of confused about where in the Cobb Galleria it is, put it in your Waze. And by the way, if you don't have Waze, you're 100 years old. You need to come into the 21st century because it's a really good app. But that's a good way to get here, to know where the parking area is, to just put it in your phone. But another great reason to come here is the great food that Murph has here with the burgers. And you guys, I mean, this stuff is fresh food. You guys have just great selections on this menu, and the desserts are great. The appetizers, cheese curds. Who doesn't eat cheese curds, which I think we may be getting some here in a moment, and to snack on. Wings, sandwiches, wraps. You got it all here. At what's been some of the – you guys have been open now for 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years.
Tell me some of the bigger sellers that you have on this menu.
Probably the two top burgers are going to be your bourbon bacon burger,
okay,
which is actually Dale's wife Nancy's favorite item. She actually
Nancy still likes the bourbon bacon, huh?
Yeah, she'll tell me she has dreams about that burger. it's hilarious. And then the other one is the peanut butter burger.
There you go. That's why I was pointing to Russ.
It is.
He loves that peanut butter burger.
You know, I think people try it just because they think it's awkward, and then once they try it and eat it, they're blown away on how good it is.
They're great burgers.
And then we have a secret burger that's not on the menu, and it's called. You can get any burger done this way, and it's called Murph's Way. So it's a secret menu item, and it's exactly how Murph likes his burgers. We do a fried egg and pepper jelly on top of the fried egg on the burger.
Wow.
So it is good.
That's pretty good. That sounds really good. Well, I love I'm probably going to get the bourbon bacon burger later. And if I had to guess, I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Brown here got the PB burger. Is that what you're thinking about?
I don't know, man. I might go bourbon bacon.
Oh, yeah?
That does sound good.
Have you had the bourbon bacon?
Yeah, I've had that. And then the comeback, too, is pretty good.
Yeah, the comeback. The bourbon bacon burger is bacon. I mean, when you start a sentence with bacon, you can't go wrong, right? Bacon, cheddar, and our special bourbon sauce. And then, yeah, the comeback burger is the pepper jack cheese and our secret comeback sauce. You know what? I don't know if I've had the bacon bourbon bacon burger now. I think I've had the comeback burger a couple of times. That was delicious. But anyway, the burgers are really good and just great food here. The desserts also. And you got to get the cheese curds. Right, I mean, that's just daggum. You got to walk in. If you're going to walk in here, you got to get cheese curds because they are really, really good. So we just invite you to come. And plus, the other thing is, I mean, if Dale Murphy's here, it's almost gravy, right? Let's be honest. If he's here, like he's going to be today, that's great because he is so good. We watched him last time, Chuck, and when people come in, he is unbelievable. Big shocker with everybody who comes in and say hello. He's just awesome, isn't he?
Oh, he's most amazing person I actually know, but it's just fun seeing not only the customers light up and the fans light up when they see him, he lights up too. So it just brings a whole different energy to the restaurant when he's in here.
I don't know if I told you this. I think I did, but when we were here before, our third member of our crew, Skipper Seda, was here with us, and we joked when we were on the air that Skip looked like Terry Forster, the former Braves relief pitcher who was called the Fat Tub of Goo. And so Murph started laughing about that. So we're off the air and we're getting everything in our bag and ready to rock and roll and get out of here and get to the game. And so all of a sudden Murph comes walking back here right behind us on this glass and taps on the glass and is like mouthing something and pointing at Skipper. And dumb me, I didn't really understand what he was saying. I'm like, huh? What? And then he said, is that Terry Forster? And I just died laughing. He was just busting Skipper's chops, but he has a great time, doesn't he, when he's here with the fans?
Oh, most definitely. Maybe we need to hire Skipper for in the bullpen.
Yeah, that might be good. It might be good. Well, and just all the Braves stuff too. I mean, that's what I was saying. Even if Murph's not here, the food's great, and the Braves stuff here that you guys have done with Murph's, of course, the Power Alley. Heck, that ought to draw anybody here. The Power Alley poster and the other poster that. When he had his night back in 1991, which is great. I've got that poster at home, and just the Braves stuff here is so much fun. It's a great stopping off point before people get to the game, you know. Yeah.
And everything that's up in here is not just Murph stuff that we found somewhere. This is all from his personal collection. You know, one of the original Nike posters, Power Alley posters that Nike sent him. That's one of them. So everything that's in here is original stuff that was either sent to him to get approval, or once they didn't get his approval and just ran with it, and they still sent it to him.
That's great. So, that's great.
Well, from the pictures of him being a little kid.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
most amazing thing, my favorite thing, is the picture over there on the wall with him as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Hitting.
I love
it's
that.
It's the exact same swing and stance.
Yeah.
Exactly. What he had.
Exactly.
It hasn't changed.
No, it hadn't changed. What was he, probably 8, 9 years old then or so? Yeah. And I love that picture. I love the picture with him and Ronald Reagan, which is really, really cool. It's just a great spot. We invite people to come to Merce Restaurant. If you're coming to a Braves game this weekend or any time this summer, make your plans to come to Merce, get you a burger, and get ready for the Braves game. Chuck, always a pleasure to have you on with us. Thank you so much for letting us come. We appreciate it very much.
Oh, anytime. Thank you for coming.
All right. We're here at Merce, and we're talking sports. We're going to have we'll check in with Anthony Dasher coming up in just a little bit from UGASports.com. And also, we'll check in with Jonathan Leifheit from GeoJackets.com. Braves and the Rockies tonight, as we said. And it is going to be a fun night because Max Fried is pitching. Braves lost last night to the Reds, so they had a 2-hour and 42-minute rain delay, and they will try to get back in working order tonight and get back with a win on that record to get back. They need it. They don't need to kind of fall behind, and hopefully they'll be able to have a good series against the Rockies, who've kind of been like they have up and down all year long. So Braves, of course, will be talking about that as we're here at Merce. Maybe Murph can stop by and say hello when he's here, but I'm sure he'll be swamped with the other people. But, of course, the NFL draft is the big deal, as everybody is talking about what happened last night with the Atlanta Falcons to move up into the first round to get a second draft pick. So 2 first-round picks for the Falcons. And as of right now, there is no pick for Atlanta tonight in rounds 2 and 3. But Jason Budd said on the Midday Sports Zone earlier that he would not be surprised if we see a trade to move them up, and maybe particularly in the third round of the NFL draft, as they have, I think, 6 picks tonight and the ability to maybe make some more things happen. But the Falcons surprised everybody, obviously, with the selection at number 14 of Chris Lindstrom, the guard who can also play a little tackle and a little bit of a center. He is from Boston College, and Thomas Dimitroff said today that even if Christian Wilkins had been available at 14, they still were going to take Lindstrom. I don't know if I buy that or not, but nonetheless, that's what he said. And he did try to say that he had a knowledge of whom he was going to pick a couple of days ago, and Lindstrom was obviously the one he had. Then, of course, the Falcons came back. Caleb McGarry, the offensive tackle from Washington, was the pick that they traded up to get and gave up their 2nd and 3rd round pick in the draft and got 2 offensive linemen. Look, I don't know if these are the 2 best offensive linemen, the positions they were able to draft, and it's hard for me to complain too much about drafting an offensive lineman because I harp on a regular basis about line of scrimmage. I'm at least glad they didn't draft 2 linebackers or something like that. I feel a lot better about 2 offensive linemen being drafted compared to the year even than I felt about Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford being traded in that draft a couple of years ago. But, you know, look, we know they've needed help in the line of scrimmage. We know they need to help protect Matt Ryan. And you just have to hope that these kids can turn out and be the right choices. I was telling Russ, we were talking about it on the trip up, and I said, you know, I hate that my biggest concern about these 2 draft picks are scars about Peter Kahns and Lamar Holmes. I think that's part of the reason why I have some apprehension or concern that these may have been reaches. And I did feel better after I saw that Mel Kiper had Chris Lindstrom at number 18 on his board, and that made it to where it wasn't that much of a reach. And I do wonder if Caleb McGarry was a little bit of a reach, but you know, if not for the bad experience, Russ, a couple of years ago with Peter Kahns and Lamar Holmes, I probably wouldn't care. I would just say, yes, offensive lineman, offensive lineman, offensive lineman, line of scrimmage, line of scrimmage, line of scrimmage. So I hate that the Kahns-Holmes factor is even entering into the equation here. And you just have to hope they pick the right ones, because God knows we have clamored for help on the line of scrimmage. They've gotten some now with these 2 kids. And again, especially with a couple of players like the kid from Oklahoma, like the kid from Florida falling all the way out of the first round, you just have to hope they've made the right choices.
Yeah, just reading up on these guys, both combine grades say, you know, chance to be an NFL starter. You know, the fact that the Ford and Taylor fell out of the first round, that helps a lot because obviously they weren't in the mix. Jonah Williams already off the board at 11 for Cincinnati. And you know what? The one complaint I've had about the Falcons since forever is that, you know, you invest all of this money into a franchise quarterback, but yet you don't do anything to protect him. And this offseason, with the free agent signings they've made and the two draft picks they've made, they're finally protecting their quarterback. This is long overdue. I mean, they've been trying to get this offensive line right since, was it Dan Quinn's first year when they had to go get Chester and Levitre?
Yes.
In the middle of the preseason. And they've never really done anything else to address it since then, except some bad picks later in the draft. So I'm glad to see that for once the quarterback and the offensive line is a little bit of a priority. I like the attitude that is just that both of these guys are described as having, just kind of mean, nasty offensive linemen. I think that's going to help. And if they are, I mean, if their evaluation is correct, and that is a big if, but I mean, that's an if with any player they take, I think, at this point. But if it's correct, then I think they knocked it out of the park. They're not going to get high draft grades. People aren't going to go out and buy Lindstrom jerseys. You know, fans are going to complain. It's not a sexy pick. It's not flashy. And that's all I've ever wanted this team to do for 10 years. So I'm thrilled.
Yeah. I'm not going to say I'm thrilled, but I'm not going to complain about offensive linemen. I'm not. I just think it's almost being hypocritical of what I've preached back and forth, left and right. I don't think you're ever going to be thrilled unless you know the offense. If you're a Falcon fan and you also love Boston College or Washington, you're probably through the roof thrilled because you probably know these kids and have seen these kids and have gone crazy with these kids and think, hey, boy, this is the perfect draft pick. I mean, I am anxious to see tonight how far Taylor from Florida and the other kid, the Ford kid from Oklahoma goes, because that is kind of peculiar that they dropped, and obviously the Falcons have been connected to one of them, but you have to hope that they've gotten this right and that these are the two players that you can say are the right fit for this team at this point in time. And look, I've kind of put myself in Matt Ryan's shoes. Oh my God, just get him some help, and he's got to be the happiest person. He's got to be the happiest millionaire alive today, because he's going to have someone protect him from being in a body cast. And how can we complain about that? You know, it's hard to. I mean, we're not going to know for 5 years whether these guys were the right picks compared to the other players in the first round, or that they passed on this player. But you have to bring players in. That's what the draft's for. And it's a crapshoot no matter who you bring in. Every year it's a crapshoot. We went through some of the drafts yesterday, and you know you're not going to hit a home run. But you know what? If one of these two, and I said this unfortunately about Cons and Holmes, which didn't turn out too great, if one of them turns out to be a long-term, big-time starter, that's kind of what you want. We're just used to guards going a little bit later in the first round, and that's why I think it's a little bit more, oh, wow, they took a guard. And that's probably why most of the people last night who were in that video, they were so shocked that Mercedes-Benz were like, who the heck is this? Because he wanted a tackle. Yeah. Tackles are the sexier picks in a draft, and we're just used to a guard going 22nd overall to the Steelers.
Yeah, right, exactly. They took a guard in the middle of the first round. Good. Playoff teams do that, you know. And I wish they could have been traded back and gotten these guys, but you got to have a partner to do that. And you look at the first round picks on the on the offensive line in the history of the Atlanta Falcons, they've all worked out, except I guess I'd have to check with somebody on George Kuhns and Warren Bryant. That was a wee bit before us. But Mike Ken, Bill Frelich, Bob Whitfield, Lincoln Kennedy, Sam Baker, Jake Matthews, A, they've all worked out. B, I think we know why the Falcons have such a long history of losing, because those are only the first-round offensive linemen they've ever taken in franchise history. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to dissect that and look at it. But for Matt Ryan, who was sacked more than any other quarterback, hit more than any other quarterback, I don't care who your quarterback is. I don't care if it's Tom Brady. If he gets sacked and hit that many times, he's not going to be successful. And they finally they invested in protecting the franchise, and we just have to hope it works. I mean, I like the idea. I like the strategy. And if their evaluations are wrong, you know, we'll get a new general manager in here that can hopefully get it right.
You know, the year they went to the Super Bowl was the year they had the most consistent offensive line in their history. all five of the offensive linemen were there for every game the entire year. And that led them, that helped them get to the Super Bowl. I'm not going to say it's going to happen this year, but you've got to have good talent to be able to be there. We went from having Jeremy Trueblood, who was Wahoo McDaniel's illegitimate grandson, to all of a sudden having five legit offensive linemen who knew what they were doing, and they protected their quarterback, who helped them win the MVP award and got the Super Bowl. And it sure wasn't the offensive line's fault. The coaching choked in the second half of that game. So to have these kind of players on the roster and to have depth now, I'll take it. I think we all will. So we'll continue to talk about the NFL draft, look back on what happened in the first round, and talk more about what could happen tonight, what the Falcons might do if they do get additional picks, if they get a pick in the first, or rather in the third round, or in, even if they are able to move up to the second round, which would cost a lot. And we'll see how that could impact that roster, and what they may really need is their, all right, you've done offensive line, now what? We'll try to answer that question later on in our broadcast. We'll talk Braves. It is Max Fried night at SunTrust Park, because Max Fried is pitching tonight at SunTrust Park, and that gives the Braves a very good chance of winning, because he gives the Braves a very good chance of winning, even after four starts this year and 12 starts in his career. I think we know that. So we'll keep an eye on that, talk more Braves baseball, and later on we'll take your phone calls and take your reaction. Plus, it's Georgia Tech's spring football game. So I know you Tech fans are flocking to Bobby Dodd to pad those attendance numbers so he won't make fun of you in Athens. Like that's going to be a concern of mine. Oh, wait, I got to wake up to make fun of Tech fans for not going to the game. We'll talk with Lifelike coming up later, and also talk about what to expect tonight in that scrimmage at Bobby Dodd. We're at Murph's Restaurant. I think it's time for some cheese curds, Russell Brown, and burgers. They got great food, sandwiches, wraps, wings, great sides as well. Great food here at Murph's. The Cobb Galleria here in Atlanta, right down the street, less than 3 minutes really from SunTrust Park. And again, if you're coming to a Braves game, you can park here at the Cobb Galleria. They can validate your parking, and it can be for $5. And it's a short walk, probably no more than 10 minutes. And if you're slow, like Brian McCann, maybe 13. But it's not too far away at all from SunTrust Park and the Braves game here all weekend long and all summer long here. But if you're not able to come today or not coming this weekend to a game, just keep Merce in mind. Come here and let them know you heard it on Middle Georgia's ESPN. And I think, hey, and you know, if it ain't good, me and Russ,
we're not here.
We ain't here.
That's simple.
It's very simple. We need to copyright that slogan. I like that. With Russ Brown, I'm Bill Shanks. We're live at Merce, and you're listening to The Bill Shanks Show. We're back on the broadcast here. We are live at Merce Restaurant here in Atlanta. We are efforting Anthony Asher to see if we could get him on to talk a little bit about G-Day from last week, and also about DeAndre Baker going in the end of the first round. He went number 30th to the Giants, who got Baker there. Not many cornerbacks really went last night in the draft. Baker slid. A lot of people are saying that he slid because of what happened with him not playing in the bowl game against Texas in the Sugar Bowl, and that may have hurt him just a little bit, which I, you know what, if it did, I kind of hope that it can be used as a lesson moving forward and to show others that you might want to really think about not playing in your bowl game, especially if it can contribute to some situations. Of course, this combine stuff might have hurt him as well, but we'll continue to effort. Anthony Dasher, and see if we can get him on the air. Eddie from Ackworth is here. He dropped by, as he does when we're here at Murph sometimes, and to say hello. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
Yes, sir.
So your thoughts on the Falcons draft last night. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I want to say I was highly entertained watching the draft, watching these guys and girls dressed up like their teams and cheering at players they'd never heard of before. Absolutely going bonkers.
200,000 of them.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, literally, you probably, if you follow college football, you probably heard of 10 of these players. I can promise you most people in the crowd didn't know those 10.
But they were having fun.
And they were having fun, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But you know, some of those reactions and watching that was really entertaining. But I said last night to a buddy of mine at the gym, I said, are we going to get the bad Falcons or the good Falcons in this draft? Meaning, are we going to throw away a bunch of picks, draft, move up to get whatever player, Josh Allen, like we talked about the other day? Are we going to be good Falcons and move back, potentially stay there and get what we need? And you know what we were? We were kind of in the middle. I thought, I told you, I wanted a boring draft, and that's what it was.
That's what it was. That's right. You did say that.
For the Falcons, it was a boring draft. And to get around the football, both a guard and a tackle, I'm elated with the draft. I don't know how these players are going to be. Have no idea. None of us do. We don't know.
Right.
We just don't know. I will say this, though, and I don't think Russ is going to like this, but the only thing I don't like is the fact that these players came from both the Pac-12 and the ACC versus what was sitting there, the Big 12 and the SEC. I'm telling you, I think players from those conferences are a little stronger and better than what was available.
There's just got to be something wrong with the Taylor kid from Florida, though, doesn't there? For him to fall, I mean, I was shocked that he fell past Atlanta at 14, but then when he was still available at 31, I'm like, well, could they take him there? And then for them not to take him and New England not to take him, something's wrong with that kid. Got to be.
I would think so. The Cody Ford one, I don't understand that, because he was projected – he was actually projected to go where we were picking all along.
Or there was even talk yesterday about Atlanta moving up to get Cody Ford.
That's right. That's right. Now, the other kind of bad, I will say, is I think the second pick, they could have waited on that. You know, and he was the guy they wanted, I understand. So they threw all their chips in and moved up to get it. But I still feel like that player – would have been there in their second round pick, and they could have even traded back and gotten him later.
Maybe.
Knowing both Juwan Taylor, Cody Ford, and him were all still available.
Right. I was feeling that same way, and I told you last night about, well, could they have traded back to get these guys. This morning on Golic and Wingo, they were actually talking about the fact that, you know, and they were mainly talking about Daniel Jones, because obviously there's been a lot of feedback on that pick, and that should the Giants have backed up to get him,
right?
Or were they worried about Washington moving up, or were they worried about Denver getting Daniel Jones? And they had a story about a team, unknown player, and they wanted this player. They really valued him, like, let's say at 20 or 15. They had the fifth pick, and they couldn't get anybody to trade back.
Right.
And they're like, well, we're either going to have to take him at 5, or we're going to lose this kid because he's going to be gone. And they took him. And you know, the point is, there's no guarantee you can ever trade back. And if you are set on someone, you need to take him. I felt better last night, Eddie, after I saw Mel Kiper have Lindstrom at 18. Made me feel a little bit better. And it was more about not Lindstrom, but the fact that you don't see guards taken at 14 very often. I think there was one a year or two ago, I remember. Can't remember which one. But that's usually a pick in the 20s. But if the Falcons got their guy, you have to just – pray to God they haven't Lamar Holmes and Peter Kahn's this.
Right, and his coach actually said today on local Atlanta radio that he can play three positions. He can play both left and right guard and center. So that tells you, hey, they're kind of looking at maybe Alex Mack loses a step in the next couple of years, and this kid can take over at center.
And you read about that too, didn't you, Russ?
Yeah, and I also read in this season he did not allow a sack or a hit last season, and you saw three defensive linemen he went up against go in the first four, including Brian Burns from Florida State.
That's pretty good.
Specifically, 363 pass blocks, 0 sacks, 0 hits, and 4 hurries.
Pretty good.
That's really good.
That's pretty good, absolutely. Well, and that's what they need. That's, you know, we've been saying line of scrimmage. What did I say yesterday? Said it three times. Offensive line, line of scrimmage. And that's what they did. So it's good they did that. All right, Eddie, thank you. Well, maybe if you're hanging
thank
around,
you,
we'll get back to you a little bit later. Let's bring in our friend Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com to talk a little bit about the draft and look back on what happened last Saturday. Hey, Dash, thanks for holding on for a minute. How are you, sir?
No problem, Bill. Doing great.
Let's first talk about DeAndre Baker going there at the end of the first round last night. We were wondering if he'd fall out altogether, but he went 30th there to the Giants. What were your thoughts on that pick? And do you think, Dash, that his decision not to play in the Sugar Bowl did hurt him?
And I don't know if it's so much that decision, but just some of the other rumblings were going around about that, for example, that he might not be a good practice player. I think that kind of thing may have hurt him more than the Sugar Bowl itself, because, again, we've seen guys get their bowl games before and it hasn't mattered as far as their draft status goes. So I don't really think that was an issue with him, especially once after the teams got to meet with him and get to know him, that sort of deal. But that was about where I thought it would go. I actually projected my personally to go around number 25, so to go 30, well, it was kind of right in that ballpark. And I know a lot of people were thinking he might drop out, but and I was kind of where I thought he would go.
Well, and, you know, there was obviously some questions about the cornerback position. Greedy Williams, who had been linked to Atlanta, did not go in the first round. So I'm kind of glad that he got in there at the end of the first round before Williams did, who I'm sure will go tonight in round two. But still, let's hope that's a good fit for him. What are you watching for these UGA kids for the next 2 days now? Who do you expect to see tonight in rounds two and three and then tomorrow?
Well, I think Riley Ridley, I think, has a very good chance to go today, second or third round. DeAndre Walker, possibly McCole Hardman. McCole has had some very good workouts. I know he had a workout with the Falcons. I know the Falcons don't have a pick today unless they decide to trade up. But all three of those guys, I think, could possibly go to some team today. And the rest of them, Isaac Nauta, Jonathan Ledbetter, and some of the others, I think, will go on Saturday.
Well, we'll be watching for sure to see how they do. And, of course, Kirby Smart there last night. It's always a big deal to try to see exactly how the players do and to kind of show off to the recruits that Georgia's getting some players drafted. All right, Dash, let's look back on last week and obviously the end of spring practice. I mean, it's so hard to pinpoint a long list of things in a scrimmage like that. But what were some of the things that did stand out to you last Saturday in the G-Day game?
Well, it's more so about individuals than actually anything really about the team. I mean, offense and defense is so watered down. I mean, offense leaders are really, running basic plays defensively. You only see them do a couple of stunts and twists and that sort of thing. They're not going to show their hand in any, stretch of their imagination. But individually, there were some guys who did jump out at me. I mean, I go on defense. Lewis Seen, freshman safety, led the red team in 8 tackles, and really struck me as being a guy who likes to put his helmet in there, likes contact. And that was certainly good to see. And we saw some looking at Kobe Dean flash at times in that game. We've been hearing all, last 4 or 5 weeks of how he's been a progression. He certainly showed that. Offensively, I did like that we saw, the quarterback throw to the back a little bit more than what we're used to seeing. Brian Herring, I thought, had a very good game. Caught a touchdown pass from Jake Fromm and looked very comfortable, receiving and what the few runs that he had. I mean, I really like what I see from him, and I think he could have maybe a better year than some people are thinking. Of course, the offensive line, it was interesting to see how many different guys they could put in so many different positions. I even lost track of how many different combos we saw right there, but that's certainly a great thing for Sam Pittman. He's probably the happiest coach there is on the Georgia staff.
Dash, we know the offensive line is very solid, very deep right now. Could the secondary at some point this year, maybe not day one, but could we see that all the positions in the secondary be too deep and too strong deep, especially if Stevenson and Sine and Daniel do emerge and play well in August and show they belong?
Oh, no doubt. And I think athletically, I think the secondary is even the loss of DeAndre, is going to be deeper than what we've seen in the past few years from top to bottom and all 4 spots, top 2 corners, top 2 safeties. And there's good athletically. Georgia's had, in my opinion, any long time. It's just a matter of them, learning the system, getting comfortable with play. And I think Georgia secondary has a chance to be very, very good this fall.
What about the receivers? Anybody stand out? I know Landers obviously had a couple of drop passes, but yeah. What were your thoughts on the receivers?
Well, it's kind of hard to tell. Well, I didn't really see as much as I thought we would. Of course, I was a little disappointed that DeAndre, Robinson was not able to go because of an illness. And because he would have, I think, really kind of flashed. He hadn't been having a great spring. But really, we saw some good things, like I said, from Matt Landers. Had a good catch. Even had a touchdown pass. We had a couple of drops that kind of point to some of the inconsistencies that Coach Smart has been kind of lamenting just a little bit. But we saw some things from Kyrus Jackson. Jeremiah Holloman is a solid as they come. I think he's got a chance of being all-conference type player for Georgia. And, we saw some of the other ones that are really, I think going to show some signs. But, again, there's just so much youth on that side of the ball. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how things develop.
You know, with Holloman coming back, 387 yards, and Simmons with 138, I mean, that's 500 yards. We know there's going to be a lot more passing yards, even from a running football team. So there are a lot of receivers we don't know about yet who are going to get a lot of yards coming the fall, aren't they?
There is, and a lot of those guys haven't arrived on campus yet. I mean, George Pickens and some of the others they've got coming are going to, I think, really make a big impact.
I was watching that draft last night when that big kid from Iowa got drafted at tight end. made me think of Charlie Warner. And Warner, what were there, like three or four passes in a row that Charlie caught in that G-Day game? I mean, he's going to get more opportunities too, isn't he?
I think he caught four straight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Fail me here. But, yeah, I mean, that's something, again, Georgia fans have been, you know, crying for more throws to the tight end, for more targets. And it looks like Jenny Cohen may be trying to accommodate them.
All right, Dash, now is the real hard part because now it's kind of the workouts and now where now is where the leaders kind of step up and make sure everybody not only stays out of trouble but realizes what's at stake and how important this year is. It's going to be an important time here in the next couple of months, isn't it?
No doubt. I mean, from a quarterback receiver standpoint, it's going to be very important for Jake Fromm to continue to build a rhythm, a relationship with those wideouts. Got to get comfortable throwing to all of them, not just one or two. And yeah, I mean, it all starts really right now. I mean, I know they kind of take a little break for the finals, which are going to, I think, start this week, next week or so. And right after that, it's going to be right back to work. I mean, a lot of individual workouts, strength and conditioning will obviously be running a lot of what's going on. But it's a very important time. Can't let up. Got to keep going, keep pushing.
Dash, quick baseball question for you. Emerson Hancock will miss this weekend against Mississippi State for the Georgia Bulldogs. And Scott Strickland, I heard him yesterday on 960, the ref with our friend David Johnston, kind of announced that, and he said it's just soreness. But are you concerned that this could be an issue moving forward for Georgia?
I'm not. I talked to Coach Strickland yesterday, too, and that's just the way it's described to me, just soreness. Has this been a regional? Super regional, obviously College World Series, he'd be out there. And Emerson wanted to pitch this weekend. I made actually clear he wanted to pitch, but there's no need to do that. Let him rest up, get work out whatever might be going on. Let it calm down and get him back out there next weekend against Florida. But no, I don't right now. I've got no reason to believe it's anything worse than just a little minor soreness.
Yeah, I think you're right. It sounded like from what Coach Strickland said, that's all it is, and hopefully that's correct, and we'll get him back as soon as possible. He's a great pitcher and has had a great year. Anthony Dasher has been our guest, UGASports.com. Hey, Dash, thank you. We'll maybe give you a little time off, and we'll get back to you soon, okay?
Hey, we'll do it.
All right. Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com. We're at Merce Restaurant here. Come get a burger, whether it's a bourbon bacon burger, a comeback burger, maybe the peanut butter burger, Swiss room burger. They've got it here at Merce in the Cobb Galleria right down the street from SunTrust Park. We'll take a break, come back. We'll preview tonight's Georgia Tech spring game with Jonathan Leifheit from geojackets.com, and we'll do that right after this. 3:46 here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Russ here at Merce in Atlanta. They're ready for the Braves and the Rockies. Max Fried on the mound for Atlanta tonight. And his popularity is growing by the start. Let's see if he can continue that tonight against Colorado. He's made four starts. He has been very, very good, and let's hope his great play will continue. Braves need to get back on track after it was a weird game last night. Theron pitched pretty well. Braves couldn't really do anything offensively. Then they had the rain delay. Then they came back. Freddie hit the home run, and the Braves just fell short and lost the game, and we'll try to get back on track tonight against Colorado back here at home. And again, Max Fried, who is right now the best starter on this staff, will pitch. Mike Foltynewicz goes tomorrow, so a big deal with the return of Folty here at the end of April is the ace pitcher from last year has missed the first month of the season, basically, as he's going to return on the 27th, just a day shy of, we can really say it was a month, but I think everybody's looking forward to seeing exactly what Folty's going to do and how well he's going to perform and if he looks healthy and how good that velocity is on that fastball. All right, we're efforting Jonathan Leifheit, trying to get him on to talk about the Georgia Tech spring game tonight at Bobby Dodd and, of course, the new head coach. Anytime there's a new head coach, there's always a push by that new head coach to have a crowd there at the spring game. So we'll see what does happen tonight. And, you know, I was reading an article on AJC.com about the quarterbacks, and they were talking about how that's something that people are going to kind of watch tonight. I mean, Russ, is that something to really pay attention to? Or don't we kind of think Lucas Johnson is set and kind of perfect for what they seem like they want to do here?
I think so. I mean, he was the more polished passer coming to school. I've heard that people have been impressed with Tobias's throwing ability, but we know Tobias didn't throw much in high school and didn't throw much last year. And then they're talking about some kid that was a walk-on quarterback, too, they're excited about. But, yeah, it's going to be the biggest football thing to ever happen in Atlanta. Haven't you heard?
Evidently. Free Waffle House tonight. Just kidding. But, well, I was a little surprised that the article said there was something to watch. I just kind of assumed that Lucas Johnson was, and no offense to Bias, I'm not totally surprised that they are intrigued with what he's doing passing the ball, because I think it's going to be the best package that a quarterback can kind of provide, and because of what Tobias can still do running the football, I mean, you think that's going to be in the equation, even with the kind of things that he's going to want to do. But still, Johnson, as you said, coming out of high school, kind of being the passing quarterback going to the offense that Paul had, and then getting hurt last year, I think we can all say, too, in my opinion, that it really hurt Georgia Tech's offense last year when Lucas went down, because of just having the other option of what Paul could do when he does want to throw the football. But I'm intrigued to see what Lucas Johnson can do. And, you know, this is going to be a work in progress. This is going to be – and Ron McKenzie, of course, of GeoJackets.com, was on with us the other day and said that he thought there was a pretty good chance of us having a real depth chart at some point. I think it's still going to be a work in progress, and you better use pencil if you're going to be using that depth chart, because it's going to be changing a lot before the first game of the year.
Well, and you got to remember, too, they have the scholarship situation also. So,
what, two got to go?
I think it's three, actually. Okay. I think I want to say they're at 88. But and then, you know, we're seeing a lot of kids from programs all over the country now, this season, if you will, because this is one of the last spring games to be played, putting their names into the transfer portal. So I think, you know, I know that they're trying to sell a bunch of excitement, and who knows what it'll look like there tonight, but I think the real intrigue is going to come after this. Who's transferring away? Who's staying? Is there a depth chart? What's that going to look like going into fall? Because you've got a kid like Tobias. I mean, athletes like that, you want to find a way to get them on the field, which is going to be a little bit more difficult to do in this offense. But, you know, if he could, there's going to be opportunities at receiver, perhaps, you know, where the numbers weren't as large when Jeff Collins took over. So it's going to be curious to see the depth chart, how they want to take this. I mean, obviously, you don't want your second team quarterback out there catching passes. So, I'm just that to me, the real intrigue as far as what's actually going to happen on the football field comes after the spring game.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. The storylines, really, the news will be more about maybe next week. I mean, there'll be news tonight. I'm not saying there won't be, but it's just going to be a little bit different news cycle for Georgia Tech, because it's going to be an ongoing question of who's going to go where. Again, use your pencil. If you're going to write it out, use your pencil. It's going to change a lot.
You might want to use a dry erase board for this one. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be crazy. And then the defensive line, too, because you're going from a 3-4 to a 4-3. All three starters from last year's team are gone. Unfortunately, the death of Brandon Adams, he was going to be one of the four starters. So they really got to find some answers up there, too.
Yep. So we'll see exactly how the Tech spring game goes tonight, see how many people are there, and hopefully for Jeff Collins' sake, look, he wants to promote his program, his brand, and you have to kind of promote to your own people first, right? I mean, we'd be stupid if we try to promote first to non-sports fans. We promote sports fans first, so he's got to promote to his community, if you will, first, and his constituency, you almost want to say. He's got to win his constituency over to let them know what he's doing to help the program get to another level. And I think he's done that to a certain extent with some of the media relations things that he has been able to do. But there's a lot of work to do, and this is not going to be – you better have the attitude of this is not a sprint, it's a marathon with this situation, kind of like a baseball season when we talk about – the Braves season or any baseball season, because if you think everything's going to be in working order that first game of the season on the 29th of August, you're going to be in for a rude awakening with Clemson.
Well, and that, yeah, David Hale put it best. I mean, he's got to keep his team relevant and in the conversation as much as he possibly can, because eventually the season's going to start. I mean, that's the nicest way to say it. You don't want to count these guys out going in, but I mean, forget a coaching change for a second. If you're going from a 3-4 to a 4-3 and all three defensive starters are gone, and then the one kid that you felt like you could count on had an untimely death, I mean, not even to mention the psychological part of the team having to get over that.
Right.
I mean, it's just it was going to be an uphill fight regardless.
I mean, there's so many things, especially as you said, with the change on defense, the changes on offense. Yeah, if Paul Johnson had woke up in December and said, I'm not going to, and I think Mr. Murphy's just arrived. That's what happens when he walks in. That was pretty cool right there. Cool.
Yeah, nobody claps when I walk in. They're like, oh, what's that smell?
That was so cool right there. I thought something was going on. It's like, oh, Murph's here. Okay, that's good. That's good. But if Paul Johnson had woke up and said, well, I'm staying, but I'm changing every daggum thing I do, first of all, we would have wanted to check his blood pressure, see how many strokes he had had. And second of all, though, my gosh, we would have said, okay, forget about this year. I mean, it's just forget about this year. And to a certain extent, that's what I think Tech fans have to do. Watch it, learn from it, get more knowledge of it, but don't count on anything in 2019. All right, we're going to take a break. We are here at Murphy's Restaurant, Murph's Restaurant, and we're going to be eating a little bit as we go along here, but we'll try to get him over to say hello at some point. He's here for a couple of hours, and he'll be going over the Braves game. We'll be going over the Braves game, too. We'll open up the phone lines now. If you want to talk about the NFL draft, you can. Talk about the Falcons picks, you can, at 478-646-ESPN. We'll talk more about what went on last night and how the first round unfolded and what's to come in the second round and the third round tonight's two rounds, and then of course what will happen tomorrow as well. So we're at Murph's getting ready for Braves baseball, taking up to Braves baseball here on the Superstations. Our number again, 478-646-ESPN, 646-ESPN, and at Bill Shanks on Twitter. We're back for more as we continue here on the Bill Shanks Show.